Welcome to the Tarati Machanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hannah Leigh Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Beis Perek Yotes, Chapter 19. Back in Perek Yud Beis, in the 12th Perek, Nasan HaNavi came to Navi after the story with Bathsheba with a mashal, a parable about a wealthy person who took a poor person's sheep. David then said about that person, really about himself, that the man would have to pay back four times. And indeed, David had to pay back four times. Four tragedies. The four were, number one, the son that was born to him with Bathsheba, that first baby who died, the story of Amnon and Tamar, who we learned about, and now the death of Avshalom. He is going to carry this as his responsibility, even though it was Avshalom who chose to rebel. Vayirgaz HaMelech, Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. The king got angry. He was upset. Vayal Alias Hashar, and he went up to the top of the Shar. Vayevk, and he cried. Vachoyamar, and so he said, Belechta, as he was walking, Bini Avshalom, my son Avshalom, Bini, my son Avshalom, Mi Tein Musi, Ani Tachtecha. I wish that I would die instead of you, Avshalom, Avshalom, Bini, my son. Five times in this pasuk, another three times in pasuk Hey. A total of eight times he calls him my son, the Mepharshim say, seven times to bring him out of the seven levels of Gehenna, and one more time to bring him into Gan Eden. Even though the Gemara says, Avshalom ein lo chelek le'olam haba, Avshalom does not have a portion in the world to come, the Kli Yakar says that was the reality before the Tfilas of David. But after David davened for him, he had a new reality. Vayirgaz, he is angry, he is upset. Who is David upset about and why? He was upset that Avshalom had died in war and didn't have time to do the proper tshuva. And so he says, I wish you had that opportunity. I'm going to daven for you that you should get out of Gehenna. Vayal, he went up to the Aliyat HaShar, to the top of the fence, because he didn't want to cry in front of his people. He was a king, and so he protected his dignity. He knew that they were fighting his people for him, but he really didn't want Avshalom to die. And he says, if he should die, it should be through a Beis Din, not like this. This is the worst possible way for Avshalom to die. What does it mean when he says, Mi yitein musi ani tachtecha, I wish I would die instead of you? An interesting insight from the Da'as Sofrim. He lost two sons now in a terribly disgraceful way. Anyone who hears about it, even today, will shake in horror. And here, David, he was a good person who just wanted to serve Hashem and bring up the rest of Klal Yisrael to serve Hashem with him. And in his own home, from his own children, there is the opposite. He says, better I should die. Not that I should have lost the war and that Avshalom should become the king, but that I should have been punished directly for my sin with my death, rather than have the protection removed for my sons, Amnon and now Avshalom, and have them fall in such a terrible way. Yoav, who was the general of David's army, who was the one who was actually killed Avshalom, heard that David was mourning over his son. He was the one who threw the three arrows at Avshalom and commanded his men to strike the final blow. He knew, he realized that David would be sad, but he couldn't imagine that it would be to such an extent and that everyone would know about it. But indeed, everyone knew about it, as it says in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Vatihi hachua bayem hahu le'eva l'chol ha'am. When they heard that the king was so upset, then the celebrations that were happening on that day because the revolt was over and now David could come back, it became a day of mourning. Not that there really should have been such a real celebration because there was a lot of death, but the people who fought the war and they felt like they were coming back as a hero, as heroes for having won the revolt, are now have to like secretly come back into the city. Of course, it was the king who was crying, not just David, a personal cry. He's crying over the mess of his melucha. Can I really be king again after so many embarrassing things happening in my kingdom? Is it really possible to reestablish the melucha? Was there a chilul Hashem here, a desecration of Hashem's name? Yoav comes to talk to David, in Psukim Vav through Ches, verses 6-8. And he says to him, he speaks to him very strongly, how could you do this? If you are sad about Avshalom, then be sad about Avshalom. But by doing it so publicly and denigrating all those who, you're implying that the people who fought for you are bad people and that you must hate them because you are so, so sad about Avshalom's death, then you're angry at the people who fought against Avshalom. And he says to him, he keeps on repeating the word in the psukim Hayom, today, Yoav is well aware that this might be the last time he is standing before the king. He, after all, he ignored David's direct command to keep Avshalom alive, and now he's coming to give Musar to the king. Perhaps it's even the last day of his life, but still, he feels that it's important to say what he's saying. Today was a great day for your army, and on this day, it is absolutely inappropriate for you to be acting in such a way. You are showing no loyalty or care for your servants. You don't care about your feelings. He says it in very strong words. Ki lu Avshalom chai v'chulanu hayom mesim ki az yashar be'inecha. He says the way we feel is that if Avshalom had stayed alive and all of us, those who fought loyally for you, were dead, then you would be happy. And Apostle Ches, verse 8, he says to him, you better go out and speak to the nation and calm them down and tell them and show them that you appreciate them, because if you don't, you will lose us all. And that will be the worst that has happened to you. Of all the terrible things that have happened to you until now, this will be the worst. In Pasuk Tes, David listens to Yoav, but it must have been very hard for him to be spoken to in this way. In the next few psukim, we see the people starting to come back to him. He reaches out to Yehuda, his tribe, who felt bad that they had abandoned him, and also to Amasa, his nephew, who had fought for Avshalom. And he tells Amasa, I'm going to replace Yoav with you. You are going to be my Sar Tzava. And he is going to cross the Yarden and start to head back to Yerushalayim. Meanwhile, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, Shimi ben Gera, who we met during the revolt, who had come out to curse David, he threw stones at him and he cursed him and he called him terrible names, he comes to ask for forgiveness. He comes together with Tziva, another person we have met before, the person, the servant of Mephibosheth, who was the son of Yehonasan, the son of Shaul. We will talk more about him soon. But Tziva and Tziva's whole entourage, they come to ask for, he comes, Shimi ben Gera comes to ask for forgiveness. The Pasuk says he comes quickly. He has to come quickly because it has to happen before David actually becomes king again. Because a king is not allowed to be mochel al kvodo. That means a king is not, he's allowed to give personal forgiveness, but he is not allowed to forgive someone who is murid b'malchus, somebody who has denigrated the throne. And therefore, he knows, Shimi ben Gera, I have to come quickly to ask for forgiveness before you become the king again. It's one of the reasons that Shaul lost the Melucha, is because he was mochel al kvodo, because he didn't stand up for the honor of the king. Vayomer el hamelech, I'm in Pasuk Chaf, verse 20. He says to the king, Ayachashovli adoni avon, Don't make this the sin. It shouldn't be considered a sin. Don't remember what your servant, me, Shimi ben Gera, is saying, how I messed up, how I disparaged you on the day that you came out of Mitzrayim. Lasum hamelech alibay. Don't put it on your heart at all. He's asking that it should be considered as if it never happened. Had David not been known as someone who was forgiving, such a thing would have been outrageous. And he's even giving a little bit of an excuse for himself. He's saying, it's because you left Yerushalayim and you went out as a hedyot, as a regular person, that I believed that this was Hashem's plan for you. And so I cursed you. Don't think that this should go under the category of a king who is improperly forgiving the kavod, the honor of the melucha, of the royalty, because the entire nation rebelled against you. I just did it more than anyone else, and I came first to ask for forgiveness. So if you forgive me, then everyone else will realize that you forgive them too, and they will all come to you. So by forgiving me, you are not weakening the melucha, you are actually strengthening it. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph 21, Ki ata avdecha ki ani chatasi, I know that I sinned, v'hine basi hayom rishayin l'chol beis Yosef, l'redes l'kras adonai ha-melech. I've come first of the whole house of Yosef to come and to greet you, my master, my king. He says There are reasons for a person to be punished, so that he should realize that he did something wrong, and so that others should learn too. And what Shimi Ben Gera is saying is, I know I sinned, so you don't need to punish me. And by coming first, everyone else will know that I made a mistake, and there's no reason to punish me. In Pasuk Chof Beis 22, Avishai disagrees. How could you forgive him? Ki kilel es Mashiach Hashem. He's trying to use an excuse that, David, you weren't a king at that time. You are a Mashiach Hashem. How could he have cursed someone who was anointed by Shmuel Hanavi, by the word of Hashem? You're not a king because the people chose you. You're a king because Hashem chose you. So the fact that you came as a hedyot, as a regular person out of Yerushalayim, does not excuse him from cursing you. But David disagrees in Pasuk Chaf Gimel 23. Vayomer David, Ma li velachem b'nei tzuria k'tiyeli hayom l'satan. Why do you tell me what to do? What do we have? What do we have with me and you? Meaning, we don't share the kingdom. I am the king and I make the decisions. B'nei tzuria. Just because of our family connection, Tzruya was David's sister, just because of your yichus, doesn't mean that you can be so outspoken and tell me what to do. Ki tieli hayom, that today you are going to come and you're going to trip me up. But there is something in the today. Today he's not going to be punished, Shimi Ben Gera, but ultimately he will be. I'm not going to kill him right now, but eventually he is going to be punished. Now we come to a difficult and history-altering situation. Back to Tziva. Mephibosheth was, like I said, the son of Yohanan. And when David was running away, Tziva had come to David. When he was running away from Avshalom, and Tziva had said, I'm coming here to support you, but Mephibosheth, he is really on the other side. It was not true. Tziva was saying Lashon Hara. Now Mephibosheth comes and he is disheveled. He has not trimmed his mustache or washed his feet or his clothes since David left Yerushalayim. And he comes to David and he says, and he kivat Yerushalayim l'kras ha-melech. He comes to Yerushalayim to greet the king. Vayomer lo ha-melech. And David says to him, Lama lo halachti imi Mephibosheth? Where were you, Mephibosheth? Now, again, a little bit of history. When David found Mephibosheth, originally he brought Mephibosheth to his house and he sat him at his table and he treated him like a family member. And now he's asking Mephibosheth, I heard terrible things about you. Where were you? Why didn't you come to fight, to be on my side? Why didn't you come to support me? And Mephibosheth explains that he had wanted to, but Tziva had tricked him and left him behind and said untrue things about him. Of course I wanted to support you. You have been so kind. You could have killed me as a son of Shaul. Instead, you took me into your home. The truth here is very unclear. Who was right? Was Tziva right? Was Mephibosheth right? No one can know what really happened. And so David decided to make a compromise. And on Pasuk Lamed, verse 30, he says, Amarti atavet Tziva techalku es hasada, tachlaku es hasada. You and Tziva, you're going to split the field. Hasada, not the fields that belong to Shaul's family for generations, but the pieces of land that I, David, had granted to you, Mephibosheth. Now that field is going to be split. Vayomer Mephibosheth el HaMelech, and Mephibosheth says to the king, Gang mesa kol yikach. I don't care, let him take everything. Acharei asher ba adani HaMelech b'shalom el beisai. After the king has come back in peace to his house, I don't care anything about my field. I'm just so happy that you are here. There is a machlokes, there is a conflict about exactly how to read this pasuk. I read it in a complimentary way. There are those who will translate it differently and to say that it was said with a little bit of bitterness. But in either case, we know that David's decision here to split the field had disastrous implications. And the Gemara says, at the time that David says, Atavet Tziva, you and Tziva are going to split the field, a baskal came out and said, Rechavam v'yiravam yichalku es hamelucha. You say that Tziva and Mephibosheth have to split the field. In return, or because of that, your grandson Rechavam is going to have to split the melucha with Yeravam. And indeed, the Melucha, the rulership after Shlomo HaMelech is going to be split. We're going to have Malchus Yehuda and we're going to have Malchus Yisrael. You will learn about it in Sefer Melachim. Il Malei Lo Kibel David Lashon Hara. If David had not accepted the Lashon Hara, then the Malchus Beis David would not have been split. If Malchus Beis David would not have been split, the Gemara continues, V'lei Avdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah. Klal Yisrael would not have served Avodah Zarah because they would have been under the good kings of Yehuda. V'lai galinu me'artzeinu, we would not have had to go into Galus. And again, without time to get into lengthy discussions here about whether David should have accepted the Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth and how did he and why did he, there was a bris, there was a commitment made between Yehonasan and David. Yehonasan, the son of Shaul, could have attempted to be king alongside David. He promised David that he wouldn't do so because he wanted David to have unity, to have one melucha, and he says it's better, I'll give everything up, Yehonasan says, so David, you could have unity. And now David broke this bris, and so he will lose the unity. Perhaps the reason that there's such a big consequence for David for accepting the Lashon Hara, and again, there are many reasons why it made sense for him to accept it. He didn't know what really happened, but he, David, of all people who had suffered so much from Malshinim, from people who spoke Lashon Hara about him, should have been more careful about what he heard. Again, much to say without much time to say it. In Pasuk Lamed Beis 32, we meet again Barzillai HaGiladi. He had helped the king when the king was running away from Avshalom. He was in Machanaim. He came to bid him farewell. And now David wants to give him a reward and bring him back to Yerushalayim with him. He says, come, you're going to eat by my table. But Barzillai is very old. The Pasuk says he is 80 years old. And he says, I'm too old to come to your table. I won't even appreciate the food. Let me stay in my city. And instead, I will send my son, Kimham. You take care of him. It seems like it wasn't just Kimham who came, but all the sons of Barzillai who David is going to take care of. And now Yehuda, the Shevet of Yehuda, crosses the Yarden with him, and it seems like it could just never go simply, because the people from Yisrael, from the other Shvatim, get angry, and they say, "Vayemu el haMelech." They say to the king, "Madua gnavucha achenu ish Yehuda? How come our brothers from Yehuda? How come they stole you? Meaning, we also wanted to come and accompany you." And the Shvatim, the people from Yehuda, say, he's ours. He comes from us. He's our family member. And anyways, here he is. We just crossed the Yarden. According to the Malbim, you can take him back to Yerushalayim. And in Pasuk Mem Dalet 44, Yisrael responds, don't tell us that he's yours. He's ours. And we have more of him than you do. We are 10 portions of him. Meaning the king of David Melech Yisrael, he is the king of us all. He does not belong to you. He does not belong to your Shevet. We should have been able to bring him all back together. David HaMelech belongs to all of us. This is still part of a continuing story. We will see what happens in the next parak. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui nishmot imaotenu hayikorot, Esther Oppenheimer, alaha shalom, and Sarah Shankar, alaha shalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.